Let's turn to Psalms 24 in your Bible today. Psalms 24. Psalms 24. Read from the Psalms because he loved the Lord so much. And then we're going to go back over to the book of Revelation, where we've been talking the last few Sundays about what God has planned for us that's been saved. In Psalms 24, I want to look at two verses in your Bible. Look down at verse 6. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, lift them up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. And I'll tell you what, folks, one of these days the King of glory is going to say, come up here. And all of us that's been saved, we're suddenly going to be in heaven. Amen. Won't that be something? You know, that could happen any day, at any second. You know, I love to be in church when that happened, wouldn't you? Wouldn't that be great to be in church when that took place? Now you can flip over to Revelation 20. I've been talking to you, our church, about what's going to happen during the tribulation that's going to come right after the rapture of the church. The things that's going to be going on in the world while we're gone. We're going to be praising the Lord. We're going to be enjoying the Lord. We're going to be with the Lord. And we're not going to know what's going on down here, but everybody left behind is going to know, and they're going to be crying, and they're going to be dying, and they're going to be realizing they made an unwise decision rejecting Jesus as their Savior. And so I'm trying to encourage our church by letting you know what's going to be going on. It'll help us hopefully be better witnesses to people. It'll cause us to be rejoicing as Christians, knowing we're not going to be here when the wrath of Almighty God falls out on this world. Now, Brother Chavis stressed this morning of how wicked it was back when God destroyed everybody. But I want to tell you something. That was a bad time when everybody got destroyed. But it's going to be worse the next time. It's going to be worse the next time. Because people are going to be living through a lot of things that's going on. Like starving to death. You know, it takes a while to starve to death. And we've talked about how the sun's going to scorch men. How people are going to break out with boils all over their body so sore. We're talking about how people are going to take the mark of the beast and their soul will be condemned to the lake of fire when they die. It's going to be a tragic time. And it's going to last for 7 years. Let me tell you something. When you're hurting for just a few hours, that's a long time. But when it's for 7 years, folks, and that's what this world is going to get. Why? They rejected Jesus. People love sin rather than repent. And all this tragedy is going to come on this God-forsaken world while we're in heaven having the time of our life We're going to be on something better than a vacation. Amen? Amen. And so, before the millennial reign of Christ, this is where we're getting at today now in our lesson. Before Jesus, we saw last time in our message where Jesus came in his second coming and ended the war of all wars, Armageddon. He put a stop to it. He killed every person that wasn't saved. That was in our lesson last Sunday. The only people that survived a 7-year tribulation is saved people. And they're going to enter into Christ's kingdom. So this is where we're starting off today. And there's going to be, it appears, 75 days between Jesus is ending that battle and setting up his kingdom. And then he's going to begin to rule and reign from Jerusalem for 1,000 years. 1,000 years, like no man has ever reigned before. And that's what our subject is about today. And here's the thing about it. You know how all the nations hate Israel today? They can't stand that little nation over yonder of Israel. And they tried to destroy it during the 7-year tribulation with the Antichrist and all the nations of the world. And God wouldn't let them because he sent Jesus to destroy them instead. When Israel is going to be the head of all the nations for 1,000 years. She's going to be the head of all the nations for 1,000 years. And Jesus is going to be ruling from her and over her and over the whole world. Jesus is going to be the one world ruler. And boy, what a time that's going to be. And there's not going to be any injustice anymore. There won't be gangs roving the streets killing people anymore. You won't have any kind of a outright sin going on anymore. Jesus is not going to allow it during that 1,000-year reign, church. Everybody's going to have to walk a line like Johnny Cash used to sing. I walk the line. Hey, everybody's going to have to walk the line during Jesus Christ's reign. Amen. People are going to have to straighten up. Even people that don't want to live right, and there'll be a lot of them, they still going to have to live right. They're not going to be the outright do wrong. I tell you, the Son of God's going to rule. He's going to put his foot down. And you know why that is, folks? Because the heart of man's still sinful. Even in a 1,000-year reign of peace and prosperity, the heart of man is still sinful. And that's why you got to be born again. And still as born again people, we have to confess our sin, don't we? At least I do. Maybe you don't, but I have to. Amen. Okay, the first thing Jesus is going to do now when he gets ready to set up his kingdom, and everybody ought to have a big holler amen when I say this. Listen, the first thing Jesus is going to do, you know what he's going to do? He's going to bind Satan and put him in the bottomless pit and chain him there and tell him to stay there for 1,000 years. Amen. That old rascal's going to be chained in the bottomless pit. He's not going to be able to go around anymore tempting people. How about that, brother? Now, I'm assuming, because the Bible don't say this, but I'm assuming that the demons have to be in there with him. Now the Bible don't say, but I'm assuming they're going to be in there with him. But you know what it's still going to prove? Just because the devil's bound and the demons are not around, man is still sinful. Man will still want to sin. You see, people say, the devil made me do it. No, the devil don't make you do a thing. we sin because we're sinners. Amen? We sin because we're sinners. But Brother Chavis read that verse. He got my verse today. And he didn't even ask me for permission. In Colossians, where you are complete in Him. We're complete in Jesus because all of our sin is no longer charged to us. Jesus paid for it all. We won't ever answer for sin anymore. But still, we can sin. But if we sin, God will deal with us as children, like you're supposed to deal with your children when they do wrong. You're supposed to make them straighten up and fly right. Amen? My mom and daddy did us. And so the first thing Jesus is going to do is bind Satan, and then he's going to set up his 1,000-year kingdom of peace and prosperity like the world has never known before. There'll never be no more war. We live every day with the threat of war. Every day we live, one of these nations could start a war. And there's a war going on, there's fighting going on somewhere every day in the world. Usually 30 to 40 different little skirmishes going on somewhere. If there's not a full-scale war going on, it's going on all the time somewhere. But in the 1,000-year reign of Christ, there won't be any war. It's going to be a peace time. And the ground, you talk about the ground producing crops, there won't be any plagues on them. All the peas will be beautiful peas without any bug holes. Amen? Yeah. And the butter beans will be just right. And the apples will be just right. And the oranges and everything's going to be perfect, folks. Hey, you know what? We're going to be in heaven where it's perfect too. Amen? Yeah. Now let's look at Revelation 20. Look at verse 1. John the apostle was told to write this down for us, church. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up. And set a seal on him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. Why in the world will he have to be loosed after being tied up for 1,000 years? Because at the end of 1,000 years, he's going to be loosed to test all the people that's been born during that 1,000 years. And a lot of them haven't trusted Jesus. And the earth will be full of people by then. Because people will be having so many children. Because people, some of them will be living to be 1,000 years old. A lot of people, death will be a rare thing during that 1,000 year. Very little sickness during that 1,000 years. And so Satan's going to be loose to test people. Now, have you trusted Jesus? Now, a lot of folks is going to be mad at Jesus. You know why they're mad at Jesus? He won't let them sin. Every time they want to rebel, they're stopped. And therefore, they're going to harbor in their heart of hearts rebellion. They're rebelling. And then when Satan is released, they're going to join up with Satan to try to overthrow Jesus. Big mistake. Big mistake. Because later on we'll see at another message where they'll be destroyed. And Satan then will be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. Yeah. Yeah, God's got it all wrote down here for us to know about how it all going to end, folks. Yeah, even Satan bound in a bottomless pit, people will sin because they're still sinners. Yeah, you can't blame Satan for sinning. Now, during that 1,000-year reign of Christ, the covenant that God made with Adam will be canceled in that people can live to be 1,000 years of age. The curse that's on the earth and on the ground will be lifted. So crops will grow like they've never grown before. Oh, it's going to be a productive time when Jesus Christ is ruling and reigning over this old world, folks. It's going to be a time, yeah. It's going to be a time of great spiritual blessings for both Israel and the Gentile people. A lot of people will be saved during that time. But like I've already said, a lot of people will just like today. Well, you know, before I get saved, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And then later on, I'll get saved. A lot of people, that don't work with them, folks. Their heart gets hardened. And they suddenly die with a heart attack unprepared, or they're accidentally killed, or this or that happens and they die without salvation, and how sad it is. Now let's look at something else. This is going to be a time of great, plenty of rain. I was coming over here this morning and the crops, the corn looks so pitiful, don't it? A lot of the soybeans, it's so pitiful today. What's the matter? Lack of rain. It won't be that way during the 1,000-year reign of Christ. There's going to be plenty of rain. The seasons will be perfect for growing crops. Oh, they'll abound like they've never abounded before in this old world, folks, when Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's ruling this world. And the animal kingdom, there won't be any wild animals. There won't be any poisonous snakes. There won't be any danger with the animals. There'll be, the animals will all be tame. Won't that be something? Because the curse is lifted when Jesus is here. Yeah, the little lamb won't be afraid of the lion or the wolf or the tiger or anything. Won't be any danger to a little lamb because there's going to be a different law in effect during the 1,000-year reign of Christ. In Isaiah chapter 10, the old prophet, and by the way, let me tell you this about the Old Testament. It has more to say about the 1,000-year reign of Christ than the New Testament does. A lot of the prophecy in the Old Testament, especially in Isaiah. Isaiah said, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. Listen to that. Old wolf loves the lamb today. They're danger to the lamb today, a wolf is. But in that day, no danger. And the leopard shall lay down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them, and the cow and the bear shall feed their young ones and shall lie down together, and a lion shall eat straw like the ox. Gonna be a change in nature amongst the animal kingdom. The suckling child shall play in the hole of an asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the cockatrice den. They shall neither hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters that cover the sea. Think about what a drastic change for good is coming to this old world that's battered with sin today, Brother Chavis. Battered with sin. The scars of sin has ruined this old world today, folks. Oh, how it's affected this old world today. The Bible says, then shall the rain, Then shall he give the rain of thy seed, and that thou shalt sow the ground withal, and the bread of the increase of the earth, and it shall be fat and plenteous. In that day shall thy cattle feed in large pastures. I just noted yesterday or today one where beef prices are expected to go up because the people that's raising beef are selling the cattle off. They can't afford it no more. They can't afford to feed. We're going to see some hard times, folks. We're in the last days, folks. Y'all listening? We're in the last days. The rapture could happen any time, folks. We're heading for the tribulation. How bad it gets before God calls us, I don't know. The oxen likewise and the young donkeys that ear the ground shall eat clean provender, which hath been withered with the shovel and with the fan. Isaiah 30:23-24. Sin has brought havoc to this old world. But in the millennium, all of this is going to change. It's all going to be prosperity. It's all going to be plenty. All because of the goodness of God and the love of God and His plan. His plan. In Isaiah 35:1-10, the Bible says, the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the dirt desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. Think about the deserts that's in the world. The Sahara Desert, that big desert over yonder in Africa, going to bloom like with roses, folks. Going to be a worldwide change when the master comes and takes over. And sin is put down. And Satan is bound. There's going to be different laws applied for this world. And God's Son's going to show how men should have reigned over other people. Instead of we've had all these leaders down through the centuries that's been selfish and greedy and wicked and evil. And some of them have thought they're even God theirself. But God Himself is going to reign, and it's going to be different, folks, because God Himself is good and He's not selfish. He loves people. God wants to share what He has. Amen? God wants to share. God's a giving God. Praise God for such a God. Are you glad you're saved? Amen. Are you glad you're going to heaven? Amen. Amen, folks. Yeah, I wish I had time to read it from Isaiah 35:1-10. I wish you'd take the time to read it today, maybe sometime or this week. Make a note of that. Isaiah 35:1-10. It talks about all the good changes that's going to take place during the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Way back in the book of Isaiah, some 700 years before Jesus ever came. So 2,700 years ago, we're told what's going to happen when Jesus comes and sets up His kingdom. Yeah, what a day that's going to be. Think of the transformation of life on earth when Jesus comes to rule and reign. And old Satan is back down in that bottomless pit, and he can't get out. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, I tell you what, my Lord is the Lord. Amen. My God is God. Amen. And there's no other one. Amen. Old Satan thought he wanted to be God. Well, he wanted to be, but he ain't no God. He's a God, but he's a defeated God. Amen. Yeah, He has the answer to my God. Amen. Yeah, in fact, the devil's even afraid of God. Did y'all know that? Yeah, the devil's afraid of God. He done throwed him out of heaven one time. And he's going to throw him in the lake of fire next time. Because he's done with him. Amen? Amen? He'll be done with him then. He don't need him no more. God's using the devil now to see who you gonna serve. Who you gonna serve? And you know what? Most people serving the devil today and don't even know it. That's what they're doing. They're serving the devil. Yeah, they're serving the devil. Isaiah 29, I'm back in old Isaiah 18. And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book. Praise God, I throw these hearing aids away one day, Brother James. They won't need these old hearing aids anymore. I got hearing aids, still can't hear. Amen? That's how good they work. But the Bible says, and in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book. Yeah. And the eyes of the blind shall see. Oh, Miss Trina, you're going to get your eyes right, baby. Amen. I tell you what, praise God for people that's blind that'll be able to see, brother. Amen. I tell you what, it troubles me to see a blind person walking down the street with a stick trying to feel their way. Amen. Or a seeing eye dog trying to lead them about. Hey, all those that put their trust in the Lord gonna get their eyesight for eternity. Amen. Amen. The eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. Let me tell y'all, sir, don't y'all tell nobody what I'm gonna tell you. When you get to heaven, you ain't going to be poor no more. Amen. Amen. Hey, you're not going to have any trouble paying your bills when you get to heaven. They're already paid. Amen. Don't y'all tell nobody. Amen. You're going to be rich when you get to heaven. Amen. Rockefeller won't have what you'll have. Amen. Amen. Hey, we ain't going to need no cash there, folks. Amen. Yeah. Okay, I want to turn over to another verse of scripture. It's found in Jeremiah. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and flow together to the goodness of the Lord, for wheat, for wine, for oil, for the young of the flock and of the herd, and their soul shall be as withered a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow anymore at all. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, both young men and old together. I will turn their mourning into joy, and will comfort them, and make them rejoice from their sorrows. And I will saturate the soul of the priest with fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith the Lord. You know what saddens me? A lot of people's not satisfied today with what God gives them. They're not even satisfied with what gives them today. They want something else. Let me tell you something. The Bible just said, during that 1,000-year reign of Christ, people's going to be satisfied. Amen? Satisfied. Have your heart satisfied by the goodness of God. When you realize you don't deserve anything, and God would save you, and God would make a way for you. The Bible says we're supposed to learn to be content with His blessings. Be satisfied. He said, I'll take care of you. We have a lady that calls us often at the house from South Carolina. She says, preacher, would you pray for me? Pray for my needs. Pray for my health. Yeah. And you know what I tell that old lady every time? I said, listen, sister, the Lord's going to take care of you. Just trust Him. Some people got the idea you got to have a big bank account. Or a lot of this. No, just be satisfied with what God gives you. You're not going to take a thing with you. Amen. You ain't going to take a thing with you. You ain't even going to take the clothes you got on with you. Amen. Be satisfied. And during the 1,000-year reign of Christ, the Bible says people's going to be satisfied. You know, when we see Jesus, we're going to be satisfied. Amen. But we want to see Jesus through the scriptures. Be satisfied. Be content with what God gives you. Don't try to hog it all. Old Lester Roloff used to say all the time, all them funerals he conducted, he said, I never did see anybody with a hearse behind them and pulling a U-Haul trailer with all their money. They ain't going to take it with you. It's just what you've done for Jesus is going with you. If you ain't never done nothing for Jesus, you're going to the wrong place. Amen. Let's talk about something that's sad right now about the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Rebellion. Even in the 1,000-year reign of Christ, rebellion. I mentioned a little while ago, people's going to be rebelling during the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Even with all the peace and the prosperity and the injustice, there will be rebellion in the hearts of many of the people during, justice. All the justice that's going on, no injustice. But even in the hearts of many people, there'll be rebellion going on because the Lord won't let people get by with sin and they hadn't submitted to the Lordship of Christ and their old sinful heart will be rebelling against the Lord. It's be like a little young one, you know, you scold that young one and he's sitting over there in the corner, he's rebelling. He won't dare stand up, you know, but he's rebelling. Hey, that's the way it'd be in the 1,000-year reign of Christ with many people. Yeah. The millennium's going to show that even under the best environment, when there's no devil, when there is justice, when there's peace and prosperity, it'll still show that even though under a perfect environment, man is still a sinner. And man needs a Savior. Folks, I don't care who you are or who it is. If you are a descendant of Adam and Eve, you are a sinner. Every one of us just alike. Where everyone just is guilty. There's nobody innocent. Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, the Bible says. And even in the 1,000-year reign of Christ, under a perfect environment, people are still sinners and they still need salvation. And salvation will still be the same way, by faith in Jesus Christ alone. He's the one that paid for sin on the cross. Jeremiah wrote in 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. I don't want to hurt nobody's feeling today, but I'll guarantee if every one of us will look deep down in our heart, you can see you're desperately wicked. Because we're sinners. And only the grace of God can put the love of God in us and make us a new person and make us complete in Him, folks. Yeah. Romans 3:10, as it's written, there is none righteous, not even one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. That's not a single person that's ever lived that sought God.